Hi Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Very well, Andrew. Thank you. How are you?
Good. So yeah, so to quickly timestamp, it's 2:24, so it's after payrolls have been announced, London time. Let's, I guess, quickly dive in and get your views on what's happened over the last week. Obviously, payrolls, market reaction, any comments or smoke signals from the Fed, etc.
Okay, let's start with the payroll. Definitely not what I expected. I thought it would be lower, but it doesn't change my long-term view, which is that the demographics means that without immigration, NFP would be around 50-70K. We know that immigration is being wound down by the current administration and even more by the incoming one. I think the uncertainty is how fast we converge to that 50, 70K a month. So, not changing my view. In terms of the Fed, what does that mean? So, the Fed is focused on inflation and maximum employment. And for sure, if we have slower immigration or lower immigration, in fact, something that Powell discussed in his latest speech, not on Wednesday, and something that was a key theme of Governor Kogler's speech, so very much on the Fed radar screen, front and center. In principle, lower immigration means lower growth in labor supply, and lower GDP growth, right? But we have something else going on at the moment, which is a pickup in productivity, and which is offsetting part of this decline in labor supply. It's just that the Fed is not sure whether this productivity increase is going to last. And so in terms of, the Fed, the smoke signals from the Fed, we had a one-hour Q&A with Powell this week. Very little economics content. I think the interviewer, who was a New York Times leading business reporter, was looking for entertainment, and we got it. We learned about Powell's musical taste and so on and so forth. But in terms of market view, Powell didn't push back against the cut that's priced in, even though he likely already had the NFP data. There is a small number of very senior administration officials who get it a couple of days ahead, and he was one of those. And I think the reason for cutting when inflation is stuck above the target is one, he thinks there is a productivity growth ongoing and a bit like Greenspan in the 1990s. He doesn't want to kill that productivity growth by over-tightening. And also in terms of inflation, for sure, wage growth is stuck around 4%. But given that productivity growth is higher than before the pandemic, that offset the impact on inflation. So I think that's why,
Right.
provided core PC next week is around 20, not much higher than 25 basis point, I think we are on track for a December cut, which has been my view for quite some time.
Yep, you have been. I was going to say, you said, oh, you were maybe a bit off. But I still feel like your core view is kind of two things. It's not just the payroll number. I feel like it's payroll numbers should be a little bit weaker, which is because of the reduced immigration. But at the same time, wages will be firmer than what the market thinks because there's just less supply. And well, first of all, if you strip out, I guess, governments or private payrolls, it was a little bit below what was expected. So you weren't totally off. And then again, wages were a bit higher and stickier. So still feel like I really like your framing of that. Obviously, you had Sam on the other side saying it was going to be a bit higher, and His model's been so amazing. It was tough to go against it.
Well, machine versus human beings, it's point, I mean, score one for the machine, but the
I feel
battle
like
is
you were
not
right on the
over.
wages. Yeah, you were right on the wages, which may be the more important part. So just one quick question before we move to the week ahead. Again, I think we have, like, what is do you think is driving the productivity and increasing? And do you think that that will continue?
So that's going to be one of my top research topics. Okay, a little bit of funny evidence. You know, the Gallup organization,
Yeah.
they do a poll of workers' satisfaction. And since the pandemic, actually, I will put it on the Bloomberg chat because it's really
Okay.
interesting. Since the pandemic, satisfaction is off. Workers are very unhappy. They think they are not getting enough support, they don't have a good understanding of what they are supposed to do, and they feel overworked, which makes me wonder, and it's not the whole explanation, but one possibility is that the surge in productivity is basically during the pandemic, workers were asked to make an exceptional effort because there were not enough of them. And that has continued after the pandemic. So basically, one possible explanation is workers are overworked. I mean, it's one explanation. The other explanation, if you look at IT investment, it's a one form of investment that did not collapse during the pandemic when you had that big economic contraction. So there was clearly a substitution of capital to labor. And you see that in when you go, excuse me, to a cafe, fast food joint, you know, or even a restaurant, you can place your order electronically. So that I think is going to stay with us for quite some time. And then you have AI, and I think all the benefit most of the benefit of AI are still to come. Because it's the apps basically. It's not so much the fundamental, the models. It's more about, you know, the finding the killer app out there,
Yeah.
and that's I think we still have the best is still to come. So it's a bit of a nuanced picture. I will research it in greater detail soon. But for the Fed, if you look at the research output of the Federal Reserve banks, it's clearly front and center of their discussion. The St. Louis Fed produced a fairly pessimistic piece. This is not going to last. By contrast, the Kansas City Fed was more optimistic. So they are, I mean, this is really what they are focused on at the
And they're
moment.
in the same state.
Pardon?
They're in the same state.
Kind of, yes.
Kansas City. Yeah. Okay. Well, Kansas City, I think, borders it. I remember being
Well, yeah, you're right,
Kansas
actually.
City, St. Louis. Yes.
So,
Fun fact. Fun fact
if
from across the pond in London.
no, but it's true, and the organization of the Fed has not changed since it was founded a century ago, which, by the way, is a nice segue into Trump's policies and what happened this week, because
Yeah, go for
as
it.
you know, the Fed is a kind of target for disruption,
Yeah.
and some of the motivation are a bit questionable, like, you know, undermining Fed independence wouldn't serve anyone. But
Right.
there is a legitimate case to be made that, you know, we have only one regional Fed for the whole of the West Coast. San Francisco, very nice location. At least those guys picked well. But then we have two reserve banks in Missouri, one in St. Louis and one in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a case to be made for greater efficiency, which I think is kind of a nice segue into DOGE. You know,
Yeah.
Ramaswamy and Musk had meetings on the Hill
Yeah.
to start discussing their how they will
Strategy.
work with
Yeah.
Congress. And I mean, it's what I've heard so far is a bit in line with my expectation. Great ideas like modernizing the government IT system. Oh my God, I don't know how much productivity we can get out of that, but huge, as you must know, as as
But
US
that's going
citizen.
to take a lot of investment too, right?
Yeah, but it's worth it. And also, if you get great
Definitely.
customer satisfaction. And then Ramaswamy had some really interesting comments about defense spending, that it should be focused on the technologies of the future, like drones or hypersonic missiles. And if you look at the developments on the battlefield in Ukraine, I mean, that's spot on. And right now, this is what,
In
like,
Syria now,
and yeah, less than 1% of defense spending. So those guys, you know, we all know they are super smart. I think they will zero in quickly on where the fat is. But the question is, politically, is it going to be sustainable? So you had noises from Congress, you know, you are from the private sector, this is a public sector, it's different, it's Congress that controls spending and so on and so forth. So it's going to be fascinating. The incoming administration sees itself as having gotten a mandate for disruption, and there is plenty of things that could be disrupted for, you know, with very good impact. And I think there are lots of smart people who have figured what needs to be done. The question is the politics and whether the administration will have enough heft to push aside vested interest.
Whatever you think of Trump, he's definitely bringing some serious kind of very disruptive potential people into government or helping to oversee and make his administration more effective. So definitely different than we've seen in a long time, I would say. And I had read something about where Ramaswamy was talking about drones and hypersonic missiles, and it does make a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense, but I mean, think of the number of aircraft carriers that we have. I mean, every admiral needs one, and it's been, you know, it's been out there on the internet that this is a completely obsolete form of a weapon, could easily be disabled by a swarm of drones, and yet we keep cranking them. And so we need someone, an outsider, to shake the system.
The congressmen and women, I guess, and senators in Washington State, and I guess is it South Carolina? Good luck. That's, I think where a lot of those things get built, but yeah, let's say.
Well,
And then so moving on to this coming week. So you've definitely been right about this, even though the market gave it kind of like 55, 60% chance for a cut. Now, I don't trying to optimize my bandwidth for some reason in the house, but now it's what? What is it? Do you know what the market is? It close to like 75, 80%?
I think it's 90%. Let me see. Yeah, 90%. And I think
Amazing.
it's because of Powell's
Comments
entertaining
earlier.
us for 1 hour and not pushing back against the market.
And what's your updated view for next year?
So I still continue to think no cuts. I think the SEP is going to show a couple of cuts. So fewer than the four we had, simply because inflation has stabilized. But as I wrote in my weekly this week, I think the Fed is trying to implement something called opportunistic disinflation, which is a strategy they used in the 1990s, where basically you once you get close to the target, you don't create unemployment to bring down inflation. What you do is you hope for negative inflation shocks and let those negative shocks take you down to the target. So it's an asymmetric reaction function. If you see positive inflation shock, you tighten, but if you see negative inflation shocks, you don't cut. because you are hoping that this way you can get to the target without major increase in unemployment.
I think that we were circulating this stuff internally, but I guess for our listeners too, some of the talks where they were saying there could be $1 trillion of expenses that Trump could cut just from executive orders against the money. I guess a lot of it has been for maybe money to the poor, or debatable whether how efficient that's been, or a lot of the student loan forgiveness or reduction of payments. On the student loan reduction payments, is that a big part of it? And will this have an impact on the economy? I don't think so.
So Trump could use something called impounding to cut spending already voted by Congress. It's legally very, there is no le the legal foundation is limited because previous president, including Nixon, tried to use it. So Congress passed a law. So if he does that, there will be litigation. But in general, I would say that this fiscal consolidation, it's a case of beware what you wish for, because if they cut the 2 trillion, this would be, or if they want to say balance, budget balance in like a year or 2 years from the minus 6-7% balance we have now, this would be contractionary. You would have a huge growth slowdown. The Fed
Yeah, but at the
would
same
drop.
time, I don't think they're going to do that in a vacuum. I think they would do that like in conjunction with like cutting capital gains or something, or like some other kind of
So
yeah.
yeah, in terms of overall the whole package,
Yeah.
you'd want to be gradual. And that would be good for the economy, by the way, not just in terms of
We agree.
sustainability, but in terms of inflation as well.
Okay, and then for this upcoming week, what are the things stand out, or, that people
So
need?
the most important thing is the CPI and PPI and the PCE estimate. If we get something around 25 basis points, even though it will mean that the Fed core PC will end the year above the SCP 2.6% that we have currently. I think it's still okay for the Fed to cut. I mean, that's basically more or less what Powell signaled. And I think it's really about the fact that the increase in productivity we are going through makes wage growth. The higher wage growth we have, consistent with the 2% target. So, and the fact that the Fed still sees itself as fairly restrictive. I'm not saying that they are, I'm just saying this is how they see things. So yeah, to 25 basis points for core PCE month on month, I think is still consistent with a cut this month.
Any other key data, any speeches, anything stuff from the incoming
So
administration?
we are done with the speeches because we will be in the pre-meeting blackout. And in terms of data, that's it. I mean, the retail sales is not next week, but the week after. So we are done after the PPI data.
Awesome. All right. As we always like to do, I don't want to kind of go into some of the previous stuff, because just make sure the Wi-Fi is okay. But I thought it was a great webinar this past week. I love obviously we lo always love Sam's stuff going through the economic models, but again, which has really become so many clients are asking about the event monitor and all the work we're doing on that, and eventually the signaling work that we'll be doing. We'll be releasing an update on the emerging market flow monitor. So that's going to be really giving close to real time kind of indications across emerging markets. We're making some really cool changes to our Copilot, and that stuff people should be checking out. I want to wish everyone a very nice weekend. Getting close to the end of the year, but still some trading days left, and we're here for our clients.
Definitely.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks.